Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news first, the headlines. UK Deputy Ambassador says Indonesia can be anti-corruption flag bearer. Indonesia and Iran commemorate cultural ties. And other news in detail. The British Deputy Ambassador to Indonesia, Rob Van, praised efforts of Indonesia to eradicate corruption in the region. At a joint media conference outside the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK headquarters in Jakarta on Monday, Rob Van announced that the United Kingdom was eager to provide logistical and technological assistance to further enhance the corruption watchdog. This would involve some knowledge sharing, such as providing the organization with the latest forensic accounting skills.
I think it is the brand of Indonesia as a country which is serious about fighting corruption. This kind of reputation is not got easily. It is a struggle. And the KPK has been a really energetic champion of things like beneficial ownership, but also anti-corruption more broadly. So we look to Indonesia with admiration, a country that has really tackled this problem face to face, front on. And increasingly, and we discussed this a bit just now, Indonesia can be a flag bearer for the anti-corruption agenda, both in this region and globally at the UN.
On the same occasion, Deputy Chairman of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK, Laode M. Sharif, discussed how the Commission was the most aggressive anti-corruption network in the world, adding the agency was eager to provide assistance to agencies in Africa and the Asia-Pacific, such as the fact-finding delegations from Afghanistan and Ethiopia arriving in coming months. Laode M. Sharif also said that he was hopeful the assistance from the UK would not only build the capacity of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK, but could bolster corruption-busting efforts in other ASEAN countries. On the occasion of the 40th anniversary of the Iranian Revolution, Coordinating Minister for the Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, and Iranian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Muhammadi Nasrabadi, commemorated the strong cultural ties between Iran and Indonesia. The event was held in Jakarta on Monday, February.
Indonesia and Iran have enjoyed a long-standing friendship and sociocultural relations dating back to hundreds of years ago. Our bilateral trade between Indonesia and Iran steadily grew.
Minister Darmin said that the visit of Hassan Rouhani to Indonesia in 2015 and the visit of President Joko Widodo to Iran in 2016 had elevated bilateral relations to a higher level. Indonesian President Joko Widodo mentioned that tourism sector has huge opportunity to donate biggest foreign exchange. The president at the 50th anniversary of the Indonesian Hotels and Restaurants Association PHRI in Jakarta Monday night said that Indonesian tourism needs to be managed in order to provide large foreign exchange. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo also said that Indonesia enters the 6 most beautiful countries in the world and becomes one of the top 10 countries that must be visited. According to the president, the awards have become brand for Indonesian tourism. Indonesian Ambassador to Lebanon, Harjanto Tohari, said that Indonesia could increase trade with Lebanon. Harjanto Tohari, at the Center for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilizations CDCC office in Jakarta on Monday, said that Lebanese trade was still boycotted by the United States. This is a challenge for Indonesia to increase trade with Lebanon. Based on information from the Indonesian Embassy in Beirut, Indonesian and Lebanese bilateral trade in 2017 reached at the highest level of $108.9 million, with 90% surplus to Indonesia. This news comes to you over RRW Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia BI has hinted that it will maintain its tight money policy this year amid the normalization of monetary policies by the central banks in other countries. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com, Bank Indonesia Governor Peri Hawarjio in Jakarta on Monday said that the interest rate has nearly reached the peak, but liquidity is still low. He also said that Bank Indonesia's policy rate would anticipate external factors, stabilize the rupiah's exchange rate, and control the country's current account deficit. The Foreign Affairs Ministry has entrusted Makassar, the capital city of South Sulawesi Province, to host the 2019 Diplomacy Festival on February 22nd and 23rd. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Rahmat Budiman, the Inspector General of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, on Monday said that Makassar is not only a large and potential city, but also one with adequate experiences in the context of communication with the outside world. Makassar is also keen in establishing international relations as it has signed cooperation agreements with 17 countries. The ministry invites the younger generation, particularly university students, to participate in the festival, which will also be enlivened with various training courses on diplomacy. He also said that the festival will also promote the government's achievements in diplomacy over the last 4 years. Indonesia is currently a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council and has been active in promoting world peace, including helping address the Rohingya and Palestinian problems. And the last item, the Indonesian tennis team eyes 2 gold medals from the women's doubles and mixed doubles at the SEA Games 2019 in the Philippines, following their achievements at the Asian Games 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Chief of the Indonesian Tennis Association Pelti Central's Executive Board, Rildo Ananda Anwar, after a press conference on Monday, said that the association has reported the target to the Youth and Sports Ministry because they asked about it. The Association of Indonesian Tennis told them that it will be able to grab 2 gold medals from women's doubles and mixed doubles. He said the association has prepared a pelatnas program in Pejompongan, South Jakarta, where 2 tennis courts and athlete lodging are found. He added that intensive pelatnas program will be started in August, 3 months ahead of the SEA Games 2019, because most of the athletes will compete in individual tournaments abroad. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. UK Deputy Ambassador says Indonesia can be anti-corruption flag bearer. Indonesia and Iran commemorate cultural ties. And listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For the topic of today's is sounding dialogue, tolerance, and peace for the success of the 2019 general elections. Tomorrow, on Wednesday, February 13, 2019, the world commemorates World Radio Day. This date was set at the 36th UNESCO General Conference on November 3, 2011. Starting in 2012, World Radio Day was commemorated with special themes. This year, Dialogue, Tolerance and Peace is the main theme. Radio is a powerful tool for conveying all information or ideas. This was also conveyed by the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, in his message for the World Radio Day 2019. He said that radio is a powerful tool even when the world is dominated by digital communication. Radio broadcasts reach more people than other media. He also pointed out that in the UN peace operation, radio was a vital means to inform people affected by war and reunite them. In Indonesia, even though it has been enlivened by various new media, such as online media or television, radio broadcast, still have their own listeners. Each radio station presents content and creation to attract listeners. This year, ahead of the 2019 general elections, radio broadcasters in Indonesia are also expected to broadcast information on presidential and legislative elections. The Indonesian Broadcasting Commission, as an institution that functions as a regulator of broadcasting in Indonesia, even requires the broadcasters to socialize the 2019 general elections through public service advertisements. The campaign period for commercial broadcast stations can be a moment to get income. On March 23rd to April 13, 2019, more than 7,900 legislative candidates could use more than 2,600 radio broadcasts as their campaign media. Undeniably, in developing their working plans, election participants use various ways to get votes, including via radio. Radio broadcast administrators must be extra careful to maintain the campaign content of legislative candidates, to uphold the values of unity and integrity, tolerance, and to provide peace. They also have to maintain campaign material according to the rules set by the General Election Commission, KPU. With the spirit of promoting dialogue, tolerance, and peace, the radio broadcast administrators contribute a lot to the 2019 general election, which are direct, general, free, confidential, honest, and fair. Well, listener, happy day of World Radio 2019. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is RRI, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. I will begin with February 12, 1912. The last monarchy in China, the Qing dynasty falls. Long before it was ruled by the Communist Party, China had a system of monarchy under the Manchu Empire. The country officially changed from the royal system when Emperor Hyasan Tung was forced to give up his throne on February 12, 1912. He was forced to abdicate as a result of the Republican Revolution called by Dr. Sun Yat-sen. The fall of Emperor Hyasun-tsung officially ended the Manchu Empire, which had been in power for 267 years, while ending the system of imperial government in China, which had lasted 2,000 years. Let's switch to February 12, 1946. Operation Deadlight ends. Operation Deadlight is the code name for the sinking of the German U-boat submarines which surrendered to the Allies after the defeat of Nazi Germany towards the end of World War II. Of the 154 surrendered U-boats, 121 were drowned in waters of Listhally, Northern Ireland, or Loch Rian. Scotland at the end of 1945 and early 1946. The last submarine was sunk in the U-boat operation 3514 Deadlight on February 12, 1946, which also closed the operation. 33 other U-boats were used for various tasks and then drowned. An example is U-1105, which was sunk in a blasting experiment on the Potomac River in 1948. I will conclude this edition of Today in History with February 12, 2002. Slobodan Milosevic trial begins at the UN War Crimes Court in The Hague. On February 12, 2002, former Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic underwent an inaugural trial in The Hague, Netherlands. The man, nicknamed Butcher of the Balkans, was charged with genocide and war crimes in Bosnia, Croatia, and Kosovo. Almost throughout the process, Milosevic became a lawyer for himself until the trial ended without a verdict. Milosevic died before it. In his cell at the age of 64 years on March 11, 2006, allegedly due to a heart attack. That was today in history.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our Google program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is Brunei Darussalam Provides Assistance for Disaster Victims in Sulawesi. The government and the people of Brunei Darussalam managed to collect more than 3.9 million US dollars or equivalent to 5.5 billion rupiah for victims of tsunami and earthquake in central Sulawesi. Based on written statement of the Indonesian embassy in Sri Bengawan, the amount was announced by Minister of Culture, Youth and Sport and Minister of Religion of Brunei Darussalam at the closing ceremony of Sulawesi Disaster Humanitarian Money Box on January 30, 2019. The funds raised are contribution from the government, military, banking, business, university and community groups in general through special Sulawesi disaster charity boxes spread across Brunei Darussalam. About 2.8 billion rupiah of the funds had been submitted to the ASEAN Humanitarian Assistance on Disaster Mitigation for the construction of temporary housing for survivors. The handover ceremony was carried out by Brunei Darussalam Ambassador in Jakarta, Brigadier General Datuk Seri Pahlawan Haji Yusuf, to the Humanitarian Assistance on Disaster Mitigation Center on February 1, 2019, witnessed by ASEAN Secretary General and Representative of Indonesia National Disaster Mitigation Agency. While the remaining funds will be used for the construction of mosques and other infrastructure in areas affected by the Sulawesi disaster. Regarding the initiative of the Brunei government, the Indonesian ambassador to Brunei Darussalam, Sujat Miko, said that the contribution should be appreciated as a form of friendly state solidarity and solid friendship between the two countries. The Sulawesi Disaster Humanitarian Money Box program received positive responses from various parties in Brunei Darussalam. Since it opened October 9, 2018 until January 7, 2019, various activities had been carried out to raise funds, including cold tournaments, running competition, and casual bikes. The Indonesian embassy in Bandar Sri Bengawan participated in a number of activities. Official charity boxes for Sulawesi disaster were also placed in various public places such as banks, shopping complexes, government offices, mosques, surau, and places of worship in all regions of Brunei Darussalam. As a friendly country, Brunei Darussalam always provides support to Indonesia in the event of disaster. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Sendiri.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will take you to explore a lovely place called Tancak Kembar Waterfalls. Bondowoso is one of the regencies in East Java. The regency has various landscapes including mountain, hill and lowland. The regency does not have sea, but the beauty of its land is incredibly magnificent. Bondowoso has plenty of wonderful natural attractions, such as waterfalls, crater, and lake. Now, let me take you to explore one of the most remarkable objects in the regency, called Tancak Kembar Waterfall, which is located at the foothill of Mount Argopuro. Tancak Kembar Waterfall is located at Andung Sari Village, Pakem Sub-District, precisely 24 kilometers from Bondowoso. The tourism object is relatively easy to visit because the roads have been paved. You can take both cars and motorcycles to reach the object and stop in front of the gate of Kakao Research Center that belongs to PTPN or PT Perkebunan Nusantara. From the gate, you can walk to the waterfalls around 2.5 kilometers. When you arrive at the location, you will be enchanted by the scenic view of cliff with translucent water. The waterfall has two streams, and each of the streams is separated by a distance of 20 meters. Each of the stream has 77 cm long. Therefore, the waterfall is known as Tancak, which means the twin waterfalls in Madura language. The location of the waterfall is surrounded by breathtaking natural panorama, plus the presence of Arabica Coffee and Cacao Research Center will make your holiday experiences more valuable. In addition to enjoying the beauty of Bondowoso's incredible nature, visitors can also broaden their knowledge about Arabica Coffee and Cacao by visiting the Arabic Coffee and Cacao Research Center. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Tancak Kembar Waterfall. See you on our next edition.
I wanna love you, girl. Mm-hmm.
Of Indonesia.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, a special segment that introduces Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesia. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas, Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Mendaftar Masuk Hotel, or in English, check-in to the hotel. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Mendaftar Masuk Hotel, or in English, check-in to the hotel. Tony, who had previously made a hotel booking via online application, approach the reception desk for an entry list.
Selamat siang.
Selamat siang, Pak. Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Gini, saya sudah memesan kamar via aplikasi.
Baik, Pak. Saya cek sebentar. Atas nama siapa, Pak?
Tony.
Baik. Boleh saya pinjam paspor Bapak?
Silakan. Ini paspor saya.
Baik, Pak. Nama Bapak sudah ada. Kamar Bapak nomor 510. Ini kunci kamarnya dan ini paspor Bapak.
Baik, terima kasih.
Tony, who had previously made hotel reservations via the application, approached the reception desk to daftar masuk, which means to register or check-in. I will say the words 2 times and you can repeat after me. Selamat siang, selamat siang, which means good afternoon, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? In English, can I help you? Saya sudah memesan kamar via aplikasi. Saya sudah memesan kamar via aplikasi. In English, I have booked a room via the application. Saya mau kamar untuk 2 orang. Saya mau kamar untuk 2 orang, which means I want a room for 2. Atas nama siapa? Atas nama siapa? Which means on whose name? Boleh saya pinjam paspor Bapak? Boleh saya pinjam paspor Bapak? Which means, can I borrow your passport? Kamar Bapak nomor 510. Kamar Bapak nomor 510. Which means, your room number is 510. Kunci. Kunci. Which means key. 2 orang. 2 orang. 2 persons. To ask a guest needs, usually the hotel receptionist will say, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, can I help you? To answer this question, you can say, for example, saya sudah memesan kamar via aplikasi. Saya sudah memesan kamar via aplikasi. Which means, I have booked a room via the application. Another example, if you need a room to stay, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means, can I help you? Saya mau kamar untuk 2 orang. Saya mau kamar untuk 2 orang, which means, I want a room for 2. In a conversation, you'd hear phrases to indicate belonging. In Indonesian structure, there is no possessive pronouns. Ownership is a noun, which is followed by personal pronouns or names of people. Example, paspor saya, my passport. Paspor Anda, your passport. Kamar dia, her or his room. Ini paspor Bapak, which means this is your passport. Kamar Bapak nomor 510. Kamar Bapak nomor 510, which means your room number is 510. Listener, before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia today, for more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more.
Selamat siang.
Selamat siang, Pak. Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Gini, saya sudah memesan kamar via aplikasi.
Baik, Pak. Saya cek sebentar. Atas nama siapa, Pak?
Tony.
Baik. Boleh saya pinjam paspor Bapak?
Silakan. Ini paspor saya.
Baik, Pak. Nama Bapak sudah ada. Kamar Bapak nomor 510. Ini kunci kamarnya dan ini paspor Bapak.
Baik, terima kasih.
Listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for your listening. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Music Corner. The title is Pak Ketipung. Pak Ketipung is a song that tells about two lovers who have known each other and they fall in love. The song is often sung at Malay wedding ceremony. Pak Ketipung is a Malay song that comes from Sumatra, yet that song is also quite famous in Malaysia. Gendang, or a drum-like instrument, and accordion are two main instruments which are played to accompany the song. Although the composer of the song is unknown, a number of Indonesian singers such as Jai Wijayanto, Andi Johan, Emilia Contessa, and Dewi Yul popularized the song in the 1980s. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song titled Pak Ketipung, sung by Jaka Surya and Yuni Carrera.
Voice of Indonesia.
Anak dara memakai pita, malam hari memasang pelita. Kalau cerita punya cerita, apa lagu yang abang minta?
Ya dengar deh, ke tebing tinggi membeli lemang, singgah sebentar di Tanjung Morawa, bawakan lagu joget tari lenggang, disambung terus mainan juara.
Mainkan bang.
berdandan sambil bersolek menghias diri. Anak ladara pandai berdandan sambil bersolek menghias diri. Hati yang susah jangan turutkan, ambil selendang kita menari. Hati yang susah jangan turutkan, ambil selendang kita menari.
Melenggang, melenggang si tari lenggang, kalau baik hati tentu orang pun sayang. Melenggang, melenggang, lenggang tari lenggang, kita berdendang ikut irama gendang.
Anaklah dara pergi ke taman, ingin memetik setangkai kembang. Anaklah dara pergi ke taman, ingin memetik setangkai kembang. Jangan dikenang hati yang rawan, kita berlenggang sambil berdendang. Jangan
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have and English program. Thank you very much for listening. But stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.